Welcome to The Road Trip, NTTA's podcast, and we do thank you for listening in. I'm your host, Michael Ray, NTTA's Media Relations Manager. We talk with experts inside and outside our organization and explore innovations, best practices, and other topics related to transportation. In today's episode, we're focusing on innovation and how we work to keep you safe during your commute or your pleasure trip. Our guest is Eric Hemphill. He's NTTA's Director of Traffic and Incident Management. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We are very glad to have you because you can tell us a lot of things we don't know about. Like, what happens behind the scenes to keep everyone safe? How do you keep track of all that goes on the many roadways you have?
Well, Michael, as you might know, the heart of keeping us safe is our Safety Operations Center. It's a 24-hour, 365-day-a-year facility full of high-tech equipment, cameras, and sensors monitored by some pretty smart people that can keep track of things on the road.
So give me a picture of what it's like in there. You hear about these from time to time, and they do sound very high-tech, but how do those people use the tech to make things safe?
Sure. First thing people see when they walk in the Safety Operations Center are some monitors. I'm not talking about just regular monitors. You might have a 72-inch TV at the house or so forth. Imagine 21 of those stacked side by side that make up our large video wall. That video wall doesn't just have 21 72-inch monitors. Each one of those is customizable, and every one of those views allows us to keep track of sections of the roadway to look for things.
So it's about the size of a movie screen, I believe, if I'm correct on that. And like you say, you can combine things to really get a close-up look at an area of interest, right?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. It's like we're at a movie and the movie's traffic moving. When it's not, we have a camera focused on that and blow it up real big on that screen so we can keep track of things, make sure we've got the right people going to the right place with the right things. To get it off the roadway, make sure everybody's safe.
You have more than 1,100 lane miles to keep track of. Are there other software elements in that camera system? I mean, it's tough to ask individuals to watch an entire system of roadways.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, we have 1,100 lane miles, and on that is nearly 2,000 cameras. So we rely on software to help us monitor those cameras. If you ever take a look up while you're safely in a parking lot, take a look at one of our traffic poles, and you'll see five cameras on it typically, and sometimes a sixth. Those four don't move, and those four fixed ones help us look for things that don't belong on the roadway. There's a special analytics software that helps look for couches, refrigerators, stalled vehicles, anything that doesn't belong. Once that software detects it, it tells our dispatcher, hey, pay attention to me. I've got something for you. And we use that fifth camera, which is a pan tilt zoom, meaning it can go all different directions, to zoom in there, make sure it's still there, make sure we need to send somebody to it, and size up the situation to verify there is something there for us to need to send help to.
So the automated software, if you will, kind of does the overview, and then the experts in safety ops take it from there?
That's a great way to summarize it. Yes, sir.
So if I'm on the roadway and I have a, say, minor car problem, tires seem to be the thing, according to your roadside safety people, that most often give travelers problems and they have to pull over. What's the fastest way to get the information to the people in the safety ops center that I need help?
Well, in any emergency, absolutely call 911. Large debris on the roadway can cause crashes, cause you to get into a crash, somebody else to get into a crash. Don't hesitate to call 911. That is one of the things that we struggle with, is people say, well, I don't want to bother them for this. If it's truly not an emergency and you see a stalled vehicle off way in the distance or have any other issues or run into an issue yourself, you can also don't hesitate to call #999. That's either pound or hashtag, depending on the generation you're listening to. And it's #999. So it's three nines back to back to back. And that'll reach straight to us 24/7, 365 on any cell phone. Now, if you happen to have somebody else in the car and they're one of those Waze fanatics that likes to put things in to score points on Waze, our Safety Operations Center gets Waze alerts as well. When you put it into Waze, it comes into us and alerts us somebody has told us about debris or a stalled vehicle or something else on the roadway. But first and foremost, please don't hesitate to call 911 or #999 to reach us 24/7.
Yeah, I've seen the blue signs on the side of the road, and I do wonder if people know that. So what we always do when we talk to anybody is to encourage them to go ahead and put it in their phone now in a non-stress, non-emergency situation. In that way, hope you never need it, but if you do, it's there, and that way you can instantly go to your phone. Pretty easy to remember.
Absolutely. We try to tell people the same thing. In an emergency, you're always scrambling to look for the number. If you saw your water line break out in front of your house, mm-hmm. you don't have the number off the top of your head, though, and that's when you wish you had the number to the water utility company right there in your phone. So don't hesitate. Plug some of those numbers in there that you hope you never, ever need, including #999. Now, I would say I hope you never need #999, but we find a dozen vehicles a day on the side of the road, which means people have gotten out of their car and left them and abandoned. So even if you don't need #999, have it in your phone. Call us. Tell us. You see a vehicle. Tell us where, direction, make and model. And if you don't know all that stuff, don't hesitate to call us anyway. And we can kind of ask enough questions to get you in that general ballpark and send some help to that person before they leave their car.
I wanted to get into that because that was the second part of my question about incoming calls, not from somebody themselves, somebody reporting for others or perhaps in a situation where they don't know where they are. You just mentioned questions. What are you going to be asked if you report an incident?
First, where are you at? You know, what roadway on you are? What roadway are you on? What direction are you traveling? Once you get that established, pay attention to your clues. Look for signs. If you just passed an exit sign, what did it say? Give us a cross street. So we're looking for your road, the cross street, and direction you're traveling will be some of the critical things. If you don't, look around for landmarks. Look around for a water tower. Is the water tower on your right-hand side or left-hand side? That can tell our dispatchers if you're going east or west or north or south based on some landmarks. The craziest thing we always get from people is, why do you care what color it is? Why do you care the make and model of the car? Why do you need to know how many doors it is?
I'm curious about that, too. I've been asked that before, and I thought, I mean, I gave you a ballpark of where it is, so isn't that good enough?
We could send help to the wrong people. So we're looking for anything that can tell us that that's we're seeing the same thing. Our dispatchers might see a red pickup truck that's on the side of the road near your area and tell you, oh, we've got help to that person. But you're looking at a white four-door sedan. So even if just colors, number of doors it's on it, whether it's a pickup truck or SUV, you don't need to know make and model. We'll ask you that, but it's okay to say, I don't know. It looks like a pickup truck, and it looks like it's red. Then we know we're looking at the same thing, and we can tell you we've already got help on the way. You say, well, it's a white four-door. We can say we're not aware of that when I start asking you some additional information. So, and it also helps later on as we go back and see what's going on. You know, essentially, sometimes when you're witnessing a crash, you're telling the story to the dispatcher. Some people, part of the crash, they panic, they get scared as normally people do. But hearing somebody from outside calling it in, those state troopers can use those to call you back and say, what did you see here? Can you give us a little more information on what you saw and where? And so we're just trying to make sure we're all looking at the same thing. So that's the reason for those questions.
And that helps you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think if one of your dispatchers can go back in the camera and perhaps find out what happened, be it at that moment or at some future time, the description of the vehicle is key, right?
Absolutely. Especially if you witness a vehicle driving off from something. We'll ask you sometimes, did you see anybody leaving the scene? And some of those people might have been what caused it. Unfortunately, we have people that hit and run on crashes. And so some of those questions that we're asking you, not only just making sure we're seeing the right thing and we're looking at the same thing and sending help to the right people, but you could be helping somebody else out by providing enough information for the troopers to track down who may have caused the incident.
So we've already talked a fair amount about technology, but anything else since we've last talked that have been rolled out or any changes or anything you want to point out that, hey, this is something that gives us a better opportunity to keep people safe?
Sure. Although it doesn't sound like it's keeping the motorist safe, it absolutely is. We've installed what's called a lane blade. To be fair, it looks like a big snowplow, sort of, that retracts mm-hmm. back into the truck. So trying to describe it, you can imagine a snowplow in the front of a vehicle that folds back and looks like a really large bumper when it's not in use. Although it doesn't sound like it keeps the motorist safe, it definitely keeps our staff from having to get out of a truck to get some vehicle out of get debris. For example, a piece of tire that's in a lane of traffic. Without this device, we have to stop several lanes to make sure all traffic stopped, get out and pull the tire out of the traffic, and then let traffic start back up again. Well, with this lane blade, we really just have to slow down to just under 20 miles an hour and push it off to the side that fast. And that kind of helps you out because nobody really wants to get stuck behind a bunch of cars stopped to pull back one tire out of the roadway. And unfortunately, when traffic does stop suddenly like that, sometimes there is a little minor fender bender in the back. And even though it's minor, it's still inconveniencing somebody. So our lane blade has been a wonderful addition to our fleet to allow us to not only keep our specialists safe, but keep traffic moving and keep the motorists safe so they're not having to dodge a person on the roadway sometimes if we're trying to get something out. So we've also been doing some orange pavement markings. You might see in our construction projects that during lane shifts, we're using orange thermoplastic. Thermoplastic is a fancy word for saying we melted some plastic, laid it on the road, it dried, and it's orange. But it's got some little beads in it to make it reflective as well. That orange is what's customary known in work zones. So we picked orange, and we are the first agency to be using orange with that type of material to tell people, you're in a work zone. Slow down. Pay attention. Stay in your lanes. Keep yourself safe. Keep everybody safe because traffic's about to start moving. So recently, too, we started a little pilot project. So we talked about alerts. We've installed at some of our attenuators. Now, attenuators are a really fancy word for that big thing in front of a barrier that keeps you from hitting the barrier.
Yeah.
You see those at exit ramps most of the time. It's that big piece of metal there. We've installed some devices on those. So when they are struck, in the unfortunate incident they're struck, we get an automatic alert to that safety operations center that says, this has been hit. Pull us up on camera and take a look to make sure that you see this crash that just happened. That saves some minutes before we ever get the first 911 call. We're aware of it and we're sending help to some folks. We're working on a little pilot project and so far so good. It's been pretty successful for it.
When you look to the future, we talk a lot about connected cars and I don't think anybody has the true answer to this, but have you seen anything encouraging about when cars, I don't even want to get to self-driving cars, whether that happens, it'll be a while from now, but I know that more and more cars kind of communicate with each other, or can they communicate with the roadway operator? What do you see for the future?
Oh, for sure. We will be starting a connected vehicle pilot project later, this year, early next. We've ordered some devices and, as you know, supply chains kind of have a few things held up.
Heard about that, yeah.
So as soon as those come in, we'll be expecting to deploy those around the system. And essentially what those will allow us to do is what you just mentioned, being able to get alerts into cars, telling the car, hey, there's stopped traffic up ahead. There's a pedestrian up ahead. There's a crash up ahead. Anything to look out for. Those cars will be able to broadcast into them and pull up on the dashboards and tell them there's something going on. So I think the future of that, being able to get those alerts real time into the cars, is one of the things I'm really looking forward to in those connected vehicles. There's still a lot of challenges to overcome, but being able to tell cars, hey, look, something's going on, and we're installing sensors along the roadway that can broadcast these things to cars. So getting those cars to listen will not only help the driver themselves, but whatever situation they're approaching. So it's going to be a challenge. There are drawbacks to that. You know, we say don't drive distracted, and here right. we are pushing alerts into your car to tell you pay attention to me. So that's that mixed feeling. It's, I'm telling you about something, but I don't want you to take your eyes off the road just in case there's something else we don't know about out there. So. Yeah.
One of the many questions you'll have to answer with the future that we are heading for more rapidly than we might imagine. I guess we have to, because the public has had such interest in the prevention of wrong way driving, and you're an expert on this. You've worked on this for well more than a decade. So what are you seeing on this? And I know you have a number of projects to try to prevent.
Sure. I'd like to say, first and foremost, anytime we deal with wrong way driving, we have to remember that in all of the cases we've had where we have arrested or had people that have been in a crash, they've been impaired. That's impaired under alcohol or impaired under some other type of drugs or a combination of both. So essentially what we try to do is communicate to somebody that is severely impaired. We're not talking about the folks who had a couple of drinks and, you know, waited a little while and left. But wrong way driving is a challenge for that reason. So what we have to do is make things bigger, make things brighter, change things completely. So I talked about our camera poles earlier. In our camera poles, I said sometimes there's six. That sixth camera pole, or that sixth camera on our pole in a lot of areas, are thermal cameras. Those cameras are just seeing heat signatures. Those are designed solely to find our wrong way drivers. You can't hide in the rain. You can't hide in the wind. You know, the sun, the night, doesn't matter. The camera's smart enough, we put in detection zones, and we tell that camera anything in this zone that's a heat signature going this direction is acceptable. If it feels a heat, or if it detects a heat signature from a car, and I often get questions, you know, with the hot pavement in the summertime, mm-hmm. the car's still hotter than that pavement, and that car going the wrong direction through that detection zone sends that alert to that safety operations center instantaneously. And what pops up is, in that alert, is the cameras to verify. So here are five cameras to watch this car on that are going the wrong direction. It automatically populates the dynamic message sign, those large overhead signs on the roadway, to say, hey, wrong way driver reported, use caution. So with a click of a button, we've pulled up some cameras to monitor, and that sign's been posted for all the right way drivers. What also happens is our dispatch center, our safety operations center, becomes a 911 caller themselves. We are connected to the region's 911 system. We start calling adjacent cities, letting them know we've got something coming your direction. And with our partnerships with those adjacent cities, they know this is an all hands on deck thing. So they will start sending officers in addition to the state troopers that we dispatch to the scene. So the goal is to not have them get that far. Right. So in several locations, we have automatic signs that flash at them and say, hey, stop, go, turn around, you're going the wrong direction. As soon as that thermal camera detects it, the signs start flashing, getting their attention to get them U-turn to get out of there. So that's our ultimate goal. But it doesn't necessarily have to be high tech. We were the first ones to really crash test and lower signs to 2 foot tall. And 2 foot versus 7 foot doesn't sound like a difference, but that made the sign twice as bright. Uh-huh. So it got into your headlights. If you think about it, you never see headlights at 7 feet off the ground.
No, you don't.
Your headlights 2 to 3 feet, right? Well, that sign's now in your headlight height, making it almost twice as bright. That alone, just lowering those signs, reduced wrong way incidents in one location by 56%. If you ever pay attention to our exit ramps, you'll see arrow shapes on them. Well, if you ever look in your rearview mirror, you can see that that's red flashing at you. So we've got red on the ground, lowered signs. But we've been fortunate enough that our cities around us also understand this is a problem. They've helped us make changes to side streets to avoid confusion. So we have closed exit, or we've closed median openings. We've adjusted turn lanes in order to prevent that. Because it's not just us. They got on our road somehow from some way. And so we're fortunate enough that we've been testing a lot of stuff along the way. Really, no matter what we do, fortunately, until we can convince people not to drink and drive, unfortunately, we're always going to have wrong way drivers.
Well said. And as I said, you've put a lot of thought, a lot of effort into this over the last decade plus, and we thank you for that. And thanks for your visit today. Learned a lot. And if you have any questions for Eric or If you have any feedback whatsoever, just drop a line to MREY@NTTA.org, MREY@NTTA.org. Eric, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And everybody listening in, we thank you. And please drive safely.
Absolutely.